Lesson, step 10, lesson 11. Yeah. It kind of throws you off. Yep, page 55. Counting, we have, after this lesson, we have three more weeks on this session. We will take just about a week break. I'll just bring something to get us out of the mindset and preach for a little bit, and then we'll come back and finish up the one-year course of 10 weeks, and we'll be done on the Power Series. It's going to be a good one. There are going to be in the Power Series, there will be some mistakes in it. I found some glitches in it where Nancy typed it up. There will be mistakes in it. I actually only found one so far. And what it was is the word is joined with another word. So now she doesn't know if I'm telling her the truth or not. She is a perfectionist. She doesn't like that stuff. But this is going to be fun because whenever I have misspells or anything in mind, she always catches it and lets me know. So if there is one, this is going to be good. We'll have balloons, helium balloons for everybody. We're going to do a big party time. Our theme here is cultivating daily delight in prayer. Again, we're reminded where Jesus asked the disciples, and if you're a Christian tonight, you're a disciple. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then he says, watch and pray so that you enter not into temptation. Anybody here ever get tempted anymore? I mean, now you're Christian. You guys probably have no problem with temptation, right? So Jesus says, watch and pray. Be alert and be in prayer so that you can avoid temptation. So if you take that mindset and then you take the one where he talks about thy word have I hid in my heart, memorizing scripture that I might not sin, man, we could really knock down some strongholds in our lives and be more victorious in our Christian walk. Step number 10. Last week, I can't remember, what did we talk about last week? Singing. We talked about singing last week. And this week, we're talking about meditation. Meditation, there's your first blank. And that's where we're going to be at in this area tonight. And this is step 10. There's 11 and 12 coming. And meditation, I think of Psalm 5, where David said, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. And so meditation is Old Testament. Meditation is also New Testament. Here's your basic definition. It is the act of spiritual evaluation. You're evaluating what you have taken in. You're evaluating the scriptures of what they have shared with you concerning prayer or what God is doing or has done for you. It's like taking, if you would, when you're evaluating something, it's kind of like taking a spiritual inventory of the blessings of God. You know, we sing that hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, we sing it, but we really don't ever really do that. That would be a time of meditating, thinking about the blessings God has individually and thanking him for those. I remember as a kid, I think I was probably junior high age, and me and my older brother, we had a pretty good sized family. There was me and my brother, and each one of us had four sisters. So you can see it was a good sized family. By the way, they were the same four sisters, okay? So it was only six kids. It wasn't like 10 kids, all right? Tim, I told you that one before, so Tim already knew where I was going on that. Anyway, so my dad at that point in time had two General Tire stores, one in Fresno, California, one in Visalia, California. And that guy could sell tires and get those things going. But back in those days, they didn't have all the scanning stuff that we have today. So every once in a while, you had to go, and Dad would bring us in on a Saturday, and we would count tires. That's how you did your inventory. Somebody would climb up the rack and say, here's an E7815. How many are up there? The guy down below would have a clipboard. He'd call them out. Here, we need an E or F, whatever it might be, a G60 series. How many are up there? We got six of them. Okay, that's how many we're supposed to have. And we did inventory. We had to do that all by hand and climbing along the rack where now they sell a set of tires to you. They scan them things, and it keeps inventory already. Well, God wants us to do some spiritual inventories, count your blessings. When was the last time, I'm not going to even ask for a show of hands, but when was the last time that you actually took time to meditate on counting the blessings that God has given to you? And that's what meditation is, evaluating things that are what God's doing. The action focus here is focused probing. It is focused probing. You're probing. It is literally an act of exploring. Exploring the Word of God, thinking on the Word of God, not just reading it, not just memorizing it, but meditating on what did I just memorize? Going over and over and over and trying to draw everything out of it you can. That's why I love that a little app that's on my phone that I can pull up my Bible on the phone. That on it, it has a Strong's Concordance, so I can click on any word and it'll bring me, if I'm in the Old Testament, it'll bring me the Hebrew word and the meaning, or the Greek word in the New Testament and this meaning, so that it allows me to see more and to get a perspective from how the Hebrew guy saw it compared to us. This is what we're talking about in this area of meditation. We're probing. It's an act of exploring, going deeper, and drawing more out. So the key word here is investigation. You're investigating the Word and the work of God in your prayer time. Voice from the past we have here is E.W. Kenyon. He was a author. Listen to what he says here. A prayer life doesn't just mean hours spent in actual prayer, but hours of study and meditation in the Word until the life becomes literally absorbed in the Word and the Word becomes a very part of us. So you're spending a lot of time in the Word, you're being absorbed in it, he says, and then that Word is in you, you're thinking on it, you're evaluating it, you're searching it out, and you're getting a fuller understanding. And if you have a fuller understanding of the Word of God in certain passages, you'll have a more full prayer life, because you're praying with an understanding heart of what God's Spirit has shown you in the Scriptures. Meditation here, here's a biblical basis, Scripture, Psalm 143:5. He says, I remember the days of old. How many of y'all remember the days of old? Okay. And he says, I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. The word meditate that the writer uses here in Old Testament, it's Hebrew. It is a Hebrew word, Dawga, D-A-W-G-A-W. The word dawga, I mean, we can read this. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. Or I dawga on all thy works. It means to utter and to speak and to murmur them. You're going over and over and over and over them. And that's why they say the most spiritual candy that you can buy. Is candy spiritual? Carl. You kids cover your ears, all right? You shouldn't listen to stuff like that. Candy, there's one candy that is the best, closest to what we would call Bible candy. It's, and you guys probably all like it, M&Ms. Memorize and meditate. That's what it stands for, all right? So you take one of those things, you throw it in your mouth, and, I'm meditating on this right now, you know? And if you are really, really wanting to get deeper in Scripture, it's the same thing. You just not just throw one in there, you throw like six of them in there. And you start really meditating on the chocolate. And if you're really good with your taste buds, if you're really good, you can start saying, this one over here was the yellow one. And this one over here was the green. Because you become so familiar. No, not true, right? But I can see y'all going, Brother Kevin, why didn't you bring some samples of that? Meditate. He says, I meditate I'm muttering, I'm speaking to myself over and over again about what God is speaking. Look at Joshua 1:8, very important passage of Scripture. He says, this book of the law, he's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Look at the frequency, day and night. So there's no wrong time to meditate on Scripture. That why would we do that? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in therein. And for then, here's the result, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then, that's a double-barrel shot here, thou shalt have good success. How many of you want to be prosperous and successful? And I'm talking about in God's eyes. We're not preaching here a prosperity gospel, but he clearly says that you can be prosperous and successful, which would take on all types of areas, but in particular, your spiritual walk. John tells us, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Application, observance. That comes by, there's a big difference of reading a passage of Scripture and then memorizing that passage of Scripture and then beginning to meditate on that passage of Scripture and then begin, because of the meditation, you are walking with God and thinking about what he just gave you. It's just a deeper walk. How many of you have seen a cow before? Cows are a good picture of meditation. A cow, when they eat, if you do a study, they eat fast. They don't chew very well. And then they go, after they take in, they go and they will lay down. And after they've taken and eaten the grass, and it's gone down into what I think it's called the rumen, the belly area, after they go and lay down, then they will regurgitate. They bring it back up, and they begin to take what they already swallowed, and they chew it, and chew it, and chew it. And each time they bring it up, and they can do that, and I'll tell you how often they do it, or how long they can do it, as they bring it back up, they are chewing the stuff that they ate quickly, took down, and they're bringing it back up, and they're chewing what we call the cud. They're getting every bit of nutrient out of it. That's why they say you shouldn't eat fast. You got to get the nutrients out of the food you drink. That's what cows are doing. And a cow will lay down, and they say that a cow can chew its cud anywhere from 8 to 9 hours per day. And they said that when it's all done, then it swallows that down, and it goes into a whole other area, compartment, and they can bring whatever else is still up in there and bring it up and begin to chew that cud. And they're getting everything out of it possible. God wants us to not just open our Bibles and to feed on the Word, but he wants us to take and keep bringing it up and breaking it down and bringing it up and getting all that you can. That's why the Bible says that we should read the Word, but it also says study to show yourself approved. And if you are in the process of regularly meditating during the day and even at nighttime, and you're drawing more out of that verse, God's going to reveal more to you. You're going to get all the nutrients you need, and that will, do you think having a better knowledge, a deeper knowledge, it's causing you now to obey it, that he says that you may observe to do it? Do you think that's going to impact your prayer life? Greatly. Greatly. So we get into that area. So they say that, as I made mention, the process of a cow can occur 8 to 9 hours a day. And they say that when a cow is doing that regularly, it's a sign that they are comfortable and healthy. If they're not, they're not comfortable and they're not healthy. So some of us, may not be as comfortable as we could be or as healthy as we could be, which is kind of interesting because Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. The Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you into all truth and understanding. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. Are we tapping into Him when we open up the Scriptures, as David did in the Psalm? He says, open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, show me things that I might have just be reading right by that you want me, and help me to bring it back up again. Help me to think on these things. Help me to regurgitate it, if you would. Bring it back up spiritually. Chew on that stuff. I guarantee you, if you're doing that regularly, you'll be sharing the light that God has given you with other people. You can't help but do it. And meditation is what they're talking about. It should be a small part of your prayer time, where you're just slowing down and... When Paul was writing, I'm trying to think if it was Paul or if it was John, because I don't remember the address of the scripture. But he basically, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I know what I wanted to say, but I can't get the words for it, where he says, I pray that your body, you will prosper physically as you prosper spiritually. Anybody know where that verse is at? In other words, what he's saying, I hope that how you are spiritually, if you're strong spiritually, I pray that your body will be strong physically. I pray that if you're spiritually weak, your body. I guess what I'm trying to say, what he was saying, if you think of where you are spiritually right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, lock yourself in on one of those things. And don't say 5, okay? Whatever you do, don't say 5. That's an average Christian. That's the lukewarm one that's in between, right? They say that when you pick number 5, that's the average. And number 5 is, understand, number 5 of 10, 1 out of 10 is the best of the worst, and it's the worst of the best. Correct? So don't pick a 5, all right? So if you were being honest with yourself, where would you rank yourself spiritually in your walk with God? Scripture memory, witnessing, Bible study, you name all those things, your shining as a light for Christ, all of those things, how would you rank yourself? Humbly, okay? And then the writer says, however you are doing spiritually, I pray that your soul will prosper as your body does. Where is it? 3 John. Read it out loud real quick. Okay, what was the verse on that one? Two through eight, you said? Yeah, now listen, I'll read it again real loud. Beloved, now you'll finally understand what I was trying to say. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So he's assuming that your soul is prospering. He goes, and matter of fact, he goes, however your soul is, I hope your soul's prospering because you'll prosper this other area, which that's what Joshua was talking about. There's physically meditating on God's word, and there can be physical prosperity in that. And it might not just be finances. It could be a lot of other things. Philippians 4:8, look what it says here on the next page. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, look at the next word, is think. Think on these things. The word think in this text of the New Testament means to talk over. You're talking it over and over and over with yourself. I think that we have a tendency that we can not always think on the good things, the things that are virtuous and the things that are good report and the things that are pure. I think if we're not careful in guarding and walking with the Lord, our mind will think on things that are not pure, things that are not virtuous, things that are not... Am I the only one in that category? I mean, we can get off so quickly. Psalm 77, 6, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Look at the next word. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. So we see there's a remembrance there. There's a communing there. There's a diligently search taking place there. Proverbs, this is interesting because this Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 6 has nothing to do with meditation. But watch what it says here. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, which Solomon, remember, was the wisest man who ever lived outside of Christ. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel, to understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise man and the dark sayings. Now, as you go through there, he's given a lot of wise counsel and instruction. He had asked God when God chose him, he said, Solomon, ask for whatever you will. And Solomon could have asked for wealth. Did he ask for wealth? No. Did he ask for health? No. He asked for wisdom. And God gave him what he asked for because he honored God, because wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective and acting accordingly. He gave him what he asked for, wisdom, but he gave him what he never asked for on top of that. Now, here's the question. What made Solomon want to ask God for wisdom? What made Solomon know about this stuff here, to know wisdom, to perceive, to receive, to give, to understand? There's another name in that verse. Who is it? David. He had a father that was a very godly man. And I'll guarantee you that David, over and over and over and over and over, instructed Solomon in the ways of God's word. He caused him to, and when you're going over and over, if Tim is going over and over things in the scriptures with the boys as they get older, he's actually, though they're not doing it, they're not of age yet, he's going over and over and over. That is actually meditating. He's causing them to remember. Remember the days of old. Remember this. Remember that. He keeps it constantly in front of him. And that's what meditation is you're talking to your own soul. You're talking to your own heart. He was instructed by his father, and he goes to God and asks God for the knowledge. He wanted to have what his dad had. Look at the voice from the past. Here's a guy named Samuel Chadwick. He says, dreaming is not meditation. This is a good one. Dozing is not thinking. You ever doze off in your prayer time? Dozing is not thinking. Prayer in the secret place demands every faculty at its best. Call every faculty of the mind and body to remembrance, recognition, and realization of the God that is in the secret that seeth in secret. Hold the mind to this fact. Tolerate no distraction, allow no diversion, and indulge no dissipation. You know what dissipation is? Anybody know? Drifting, yeah. It's either drifting, it actually gets into wasteful expenditure, thinking on things that you don't need to be, you're not what you're here for. It also goes to the area of self-indulgence. How many of you have been in a quiet time and you catch yourself beginning to get distracted and you begin to drift off and you've gotten away from the things? That's what he's saying. Be careful of that. Meditation on these things helps keep the mind stayed. My mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's what Isaiah says. As a matter of fact, Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Then he goes on and says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, spiritual strength. Meditating on him, think on these things. Don't get sidetracked. Don't have wasteful thinking in your time of prayer, in your time of meditation. I'm going to say this for me. Almost every day, I have no battle reading. I've got two books I'm reading. One where I read a devotional out of. I have a second one I read a devotional out, and then I have my other readings that I do for Scripture, just the Scripture themselves. I don't want to say I don't ever have a battle, but the battles to read Scripture are not that strong. It's after I get done reading and going over things and doing studies of whatever I might have written out, oh man, now I got to reach over here and take time to pray. And my mind's immediately wanting to think about other things I can do. The battle I have, and this is just me, is with the prayer time, not the reading time. And so there's a need for that. And you have to ask yourself this question. Why is there such a battle of God? Satan does not want me talking to God. So whenever you decide, I don't have time or I just don't, you need to remember that's a reason for that. That the wicked one doesn't want you spending time with him that day. If you're married or you have been married, or even if you're not and you're in a relationship or a family situation, true, authentic conversation goes both ways. You have to talk with somebody and then they will give back, correct? And that's exactly, I mean, imagine if you went home tonight and you did all the talking to your spouse and they never said a word back. And it kept going on, and it kept going on, and it kept going on, or it was very, very, yep, no, yep, no, why,
no,
yes, why, what? You know, and they were just short, brief things. There was no sustenance to it. Well, we treat the Creator God like that a lot of times. How many of you ever been talking with somebody, or they've been talking with you, and your mind's thinking of something else, and you're somewhere else? Anybody? Vonda said, yeah. Tammy said, yeah. You could be looking somebody right in the eye. You could be looking at me right now, and you're thinking of something else. So we see how easy we can drift, and that's what Samuel Chadwick was saying. Be careful of that. So a summary real quick here. Definition of meditation, it's a time to search. To search. It's a time to spend time searching out the Word of God. The Bible says Jesus told the people in his earthly ministry, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me. What was he talking about? There were people who were questioning who he was. He says, if you were really searching the Scriptures are telling you that I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. And so it shows you that we can hear God and not pay attention to God. We saw that on Sunday. When they came, the angel said, he is risen as he said. They had all heard him, but they weren't paying attention. Correct? Later, in that text of Mark, then they remembered that he had said. But they had forgotten. And folks, we have a tendency to do that. So we have to take time and search those things out to validate them, get them locked in. How many of you have Scriptures you've had memorized for years, verses of Scriptures? I wish every verse of Scripture could be learned and locked in like John 3:16. Amen? Everyone that you'd memorize. And there's some that I can do that with. There's some that I can't. Why? Because I have to spend more time going over them and over them and over them, bringing it back up again. And if I don't bring it back up, we will forget. Look what it says here, a closer look from two Old Testament Hebrew words, haga, which means to mutter, and that's as close as to a cow you're going to get because they have an udder, okay? So we have mutter, and the other one is muse, M-U-S-E, muse, to mutter and muse. That's what it talks about. And then you have the word psycha, which is to bow down, to bow down. So now I'm taking time in my prayer time to bow down and go over passages of Scripture, meditating on them, thinking on these things. Yes, Lord, that is what I need here. This is what so-and-so needs, and I want to pray and ask you to grant that to them. The New Testament Greek word is meleteo, and it means to be careful and to show care. Can you become careless in your prayer time? Can you become careless in your reading of Scripture? You sure can. It means to be careful, to take time, slow it down. What's better, quality or quantity? Who said that? Who said both of them? Carl, was that you? Yeah, I agree with Carl 100%. Give him a golden star. Remember those things? Yeah, he's right. If you're going to go fishing, you want quantity or quality? You want both. I want a lot of big fish, amen? Last time I went fishing, I was fishing in a cow pond, actually. First time I ever fished in a cow pond. We always fish the rivers or fish the lakes. I fished a cow pond and caught the biggest fish I've ever caught. It was over a 7-pound largemouth bass. And when I finally got that thing reeled in, my brother-in-law was excited, more excited than I was. And I got that thing off the hook. That dude was huge, fat. I got him off the hook, and I thought, I'm done. I got what I wanted. I took off running and went back up to the house. I probably should have stayed there. I probably would have got a couple more big fish. I was satisfied with that, and there could have been a lot more I could have had. Well, sometimes we get satisfied with just a little thing that God gives us when he's ready to unload a whole bucket, you know, if you would. And we are excited about this little bit. We take out running, which is good to be excited about it. But wait, I had some more here for you, you know. Meditation and prayer application. Ponder spiritual themes. What does that mean? Ponder spiritual themes. Somebody give me a theme. Scriptural theme. Huh? Salvation. Anybody else over here? A theme. The cross. Who else? What's a spiritual theme that would intrigue you? How about a theme of meditation even, right? Find a theme, find the verses on that, go through... With the technology we have, I can go on my phone right now. I can type in the word meditation on here. Hit punch, search. Oop, and I must have misspelled it. Hit search. And I find out that in Psalms chapter 6, in the book of Psalms, I got 6 verses on just meditation. I can go over that. Consider my meditation and the meditation of my, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and meditation of my heart shall be understanding. Psalm 104, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 119, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So you could take those 6 verses and just go over them and read them and highlight things and break them down. So find a theme and meditate on that. Jack Taylor says this, what will be the result of meditation? Simply this. A man becomes what he thinks. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. We become like what we think upon. Meditation restores calmness to the soul. that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Meditation leads to stability of life. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Psalm 1, verse 3. Meditation paves the way for divine direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Meditation will protect and guard our hearts and our minds, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The results of meditation. A life application, that was a prayer application with themes. A life application is be a positive thinker. Be a positive thinker. There's your next space. We just read in Philippians 4:8 where he says, think on these things. Think on these good things. Be an optimist, not a pessimist. Some people are natural optimists. They're always seeing the good in everything. Some are natural pessimists. They're always, woe is me. That's just how they can be. And either way, we are both in need of the filling of the Holy Spirit to have his nature. Because somebody could say, well, I'm a pessimist by nature. Yeah, but God gave you a new nature too, did he not? And so we have no excuse for that. But I know that there is that struggle there with many. Look what he says here. Bridget Herman here, he was back in the 1800s. He wrote a book on what he calls listening prayer. Listening prayer. Listen to what he says. Meditation is a spiritual act that is as definite and as purposeful as a business engagement, a pledge of friendship, or a solemn undertaking. In it, we apply spiritual facts and principles to ourselves as individuals and as citizens of the kingdom of God, having pondered them and worked to appropriate their value, very important, by an outgoing of our loving desires toward God and by exercising our will in the formation of resolutions. So thinking is what he's saying, if I could just condense it all down, thinking on these things becomes actions. If you're meditating on these things, thou shalt meditate on these things, and it will work itself into actions. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written. It goes into action. That's what the Christian life is to be daily. Page 58, you have the meditation is number 10. We have two more to go. And the verse for meditation is Joshua 1:8. We just talked about that. It's interesting because he talks about if we observe it to do according to all that is written, then he has the word then. After you are thinking on these things and you begin to do these things, then. And the then doesn't come until the preceded stuff has taken place. It's kind of like a box cars, if you would. And here's this bunch of cars that are over here on the side track, and the engine's pushing them back and pushing them back and pushing them back. And those cars are going nowhere until all of a sudden you hear the couplers link together and the engine begins to pull, and then they become included in it. So those cars cannot go anywhere until the engine takes and locks them in together and they couple up. You have to take these things that Joshua was talking about, the books, the scriptures, meditate on them day and night to where you now are beginning to do what the scriptures are telling you to do, not just have a knowledge of it. Knowledge puffs up. But now you're living what you meditated on. You're that cow. You're healthy and you're in comfort. You're walking in the Spirit. And then when that takes place, he says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. So as you're meditating, you might take this verse of scripture and just start breaking it down. I just pulled out one word out of that text that I wrote down some things on. And I thought, that's an interesting word, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, for then thou shalt, and there's the next word is make. Thou shalt make. Your prosperity spiritually and your success spiritually is based upon what you make it. Then thou shalt make. You're only as prosperous and successful in your Christian life as you make it. He's given you the instructions on what you need to do. He says, here's what you need to do. Here's the end result. But you have to make this happen. The word make here means that you have to advance. You have to progress. You have to succeed. You have to be profitable. You have to push forward and break out. I think that's a good one. You have to break out from what you have accepted as being Christianity and break into a whole new level. Understand, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a glorified body, because this body would not be able to stand what it's about to hear and see and witness. And I'll tell you what, if heaven, for most Christians, is not much more than what they're living down here, it's not going to be a very good place to go to. There's not going to be much excitement up there. I think we're going to be blown away. I think we're going to be unbelievably blown away. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. When he gave his best, his son, to die. When the Son of God died so that the sons of men, you know, could live. He says that this life that he gave us is, what did he call it? Anybody remember what he called this life? It's everlasting life, it's eternal life. But he says he called it something else. It started with an A, I thought. Wasn't it abundant? Didn't he use the word abundant? Let me ask you a question. Have you started living the abundant life? Is it just, he says that in you will overflow rivers of living water. I mean, it's just going to over, what you have is going to overflow to other people. Jesus said that he is the light of the world. Well, he's left. So is he still the light of the world? Actually, he's not. He's already in heaven. He's there. So what does that mean? Well, he said to the disciples, ye, I've given 3 years, day and night, of instruction and teaching to you guys. Now I'm leaving. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Now you are the light of the world. You should be living. As a matter of fact, it is such a powerful thought that Jesus is speaking about there that he says, listen to this. He says, and this is not happening, sadly. He says, the works that I do, ye shall do, and even greater. Are you doing greater works in Christ? Am I? Something's not where it should be. Maybe we're reading, but we're not meditating, and we're not meditating, thus we're not observing. We're not observing, so we're not doing. And we're missing the then where the coupler links with us. And we begin to make our way prosperous. And we begin by the power of the word and by the power of the spirit. We begin to advance. Page 59. It says, select a theme or scripture passage for your time of meditation, applying full attention to the specific area of spiritual thought. You can start out with Joshua 1:8 tomorrow. Allow your mind to wander within the framework of your chosen theme. Ponder all aspects of the theme carefully in reference to God. Ask questions. Ask the Lord about the theme that might lead you into an even deeper mental study of the subject. Bring scripture into all phases of meditation. This strengthens your awareness of God's word, is the necessary foundation for all meaningful spiritual insight. I would challenge everybody. I know that you might already have your devotional time and all these things, but tomorrow when you rise up or whenever you start, take just one verse. keep doing your other devotions, but take one verse with you through the day. Memorize it. If you want, already have one that's memorized, then begin to break it down. Begin to take it a word at a time. My wife is very good at memorizing. She could take things and memorize. She had the whole book of James memorized. And I have the title of the book memorized, James. Some people are just gifted in that area. But when I was teaching our kids to memorize, we would do stuff like, and it kind of drove her nutty because she can grab it so easy, you know. And so if we were memorizing Joshua 1:8, which that's a long passage to memorize, but we would read through the whole verse number 8, this book of the law, da-da-da-da, and then I would take them back. Well, I'll just do a shorter one. John 3:16, we all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Correct? And so if my kids didn't know that, when we'd say, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to break it down. We could say it 5 times all together, and then we'd say, for God. For God so loved. For God so loved the. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that. You all see where I'm having? You're taking and you're going all the way back just to bring and add another word. Folks, you'd be surprised how much that begins to break down for your thinking. I learned that by doing something that I'd never done before. I was pastoring over at Fair Park, and I sat down one day at my desk, and I gave myself time every single morning when I first got there to write, type up the book of Matthew. Matthew is a big book. You know what got my attention is I wasn't just reading the book of Matthew, and I'm not a fast typer. So it was like, dun, 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 dun. I can read. And I had to look not at just the verses. I was looking at words, and I was looking at letters, and I was looking at punctuation. The Bible says every jot and tittle. A jot and tittle in the Greek means every I that's dotted and every T that's crossed. It's all inspired by God. So as I'm typing these, I wasn't doing that for that, but I realized, wow, I'm gaining a better understanding because I'm breaking it down instead of just reading it and just zooming by. And you can do that. Take a verse of Scripture, go over it about 5 to 10 times reading it, and then break it down. The first word. First word again, second word. First, second word, third word. First, second, third, fourth. And watch how that thing begins to unfold. That will get you into a meditation of fully understanding. So that now wow, that breaks it down where I can really see how it's actually unfolding so that I can observe it and do it. Real quickly here, we're almost done. I'll let you read the ponder points. Here's the prayer. Take several moments, just be still and meditate on something of God's word, what he has said, or something that God of God's works, what he has done. End your time of prayer by describing back to God why you so appreciate the truths that you have seen as you were meditating. We're not going to do that tonight. That's something that you can do tomorrow. But find a verse. Maybe God's already given you a verse. And break that thing down. I tell you what, Joshua 1:8 is a big one. It's a long verse, but break it down. And then as you're going through, when you're gone through that whole thing, ask God, whatever. Lord, you said this, why? Why do I need to do this? Oh, I can see why. Here's the results. And just begin to understand meditation, bringing the word that you've read 5 times in. Now begin to bring it back up, word by word, by word, by word, to where now as you're meditating it, it takes it into a whole deeper level so that as you're into your prayer closet, wherever you pray, you have a fuller understanding of what God is saying to you so that it will enhance what you say back to him. Lord, I never understood that like that before. Thank you for opening that up. That's why he said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. Most Christians don't see wondrous things because they're not looking. They're just skimming. It's like taking a rock. Try to find the flattest rock you can, you know. see who can get the most skims across the thing. That's what we do. We just try to get our reading time done, our prayer time done, mark it off, and go on through that day and wonder why the day didn't go very well. We didn't invest much into it. Meditation is vital. Meditation is vital. Let's go ahead and stand for prayer. Next week, we're going to get into the next one. And it's an interesting one. Our Father, Lord, we humbly bow before Thee, and we see the importance that You show us in Joshua of the benefits of meditation. Going over and over like the cow does and bringing it back up and getting everything we can out of that verse. I think of how Your disciples, they were with You constantly, day and night, hearing and hearing and hearing. And yet, even after the resurrection, when Jesus came to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, later they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened up the Scriptures to us? Lord, don't allow us to miss out on having true spiritual heartburn from the things that You're showing us that would just excite us and raise the level of our desire to spend time with You, to walk with You, and to spend time memorizing and meditating on Your Word. And we just ask the Lord that You'll just give us safety now, heading home. Lord, bless the remainder of this week. Encourage us through Your Word. Help us to take something with us through tomorrow, a passage of Scripture that we can even write down and carry with us to look over and to look over and to look over. Add Your blessing now, and we thank You for Your time with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a great evening and a great rest of the day.